Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. The FDA has recalled several brands of dry dog food following toxicity reports.
Now, is this toxic masculinity toxicity?
That's what I was wondering, Brewster. That's why I brought it up. But there are, again, several different brands of dry dog food that has been recalled. And instead of me telling you all about them, you could just go Google dry dog food recall. But I brought this up because when I saw the toxicity report, I wonder if this was had anything to do with the male toxicity. You know, we talked about that a couple of days on the show, the ad from Gillette. And by the way, I saw people were giving it a thumbs down on Facebook. Where do you find that button? I've looked for a thumbs down where I could give a thumbs down to something.
There isn't a thumbs down. I mean, there's thumbs up, there's laugh, there's wow, there's sad.
But there's no thumbs down.
And there's mad. There is no thumbs down.
So when the news said that people were giving it thumbs down on social media, they were just saying that. They weren't. Those were just words.
Yeah, I guess it's a colloquialism for the maybe the mad face.
You know, I've thought about that because we talked about it a couple of days ago on the show. And basically, you know what that is now? The whole Gillette thing, Brewster? That's Gillette trying to tell men how to act. That's basically what that is. Because if they're saying, because what else? They're not saying that there's toxic femininity out there. They're blaming masculinity on the fact that guys mistreat women and that guys
some guys maybe
mistreat homosexuals
or
mistreat anybody who's marginalized. So they're blaming masculinity for that. And to me, that's not masculinity. That's just someone who was raised wrong. That's just someone who doesn't know how to act properly. But yet, they're making it look like it's masculinity, and they want to throw masculinity into a giant dumpster fire.
Well, it's if you haven't heard it, it's a 30-second Gillette commercial. We played the audio for it. I still have not seen the video, and I'm trying not to see it. I want to take the message just on I'll watch it at some point, but if you haven't seen it, it's 30-second message. It's almost like the Ronald Reagan, it's morning in America, and we're going to no longer have what they have labeled, what Madison Avenue has labeled toxic masculinity as the new code word for, as you mentioned, mistreatment of women by some, intolerance to different groups, to gays by some, to different ethnic persuasions by some. I still think it's almost a phony way to sell razor blades.
There's one scene in that commercial, Brewster. These two guys are standing outside of a store, and an attractive woman walks by. And one of the guy looks up, and he starts to follow her, and his other buddy stops him. He goes, no.
I've got to go watch it now. Is that the same one that we played the audio?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's like, wait a minute, the guy can't even try to talk to her? He can't even say, hi, boy, you're attractive.
Is that the point where, because they use phony, I'm going to say phonied up news clips, where it says sexual harassment, and it's various, you're given to believe that the audio is sound bites coming from news
reports. A woman walks by them, and one of the guys starts to follow her, and his buddy, no, stop, don't follow her.
But is that the point where the soundtrack says sexual harassment?
Yeah, I believe that's the point in the commercial.
Yeah, see, that makes it worse. I'll go watch it.
And again, this came only a few days after, this commercial came out only a few days after the American Psychological Association
think tank
deemed toxic masculinity one of the biggest problems in our country. And I'm thinking to myself, no, there's a difference. You can be totally masculine and not treat people wrong like most men are in this country.
We called it a different thing back when I was growing up. And again, it's a buzzword. It's something that I'm going to keep invoking Madison Avenue as the boogeyman for coming up with something like this. But we used to call it the locker room mentality. You would say things about women in the locker room with other guys, or maybe you would. That's where your intolerance towards different ethnicities or different sexual orientations or whatever it is, that's where they would come out. So I think what they're trying to do, if I give this 30-second Gillette ad its due, is I think they're trying to do the right thing. It's a great effort, a noble cause. But stop trying to change the world when you're really just trying to sell razor blades.
Yeah, Gillette, they took it upon themselves to tell men how to behave and how to act.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
That's troubling.
And again, the American Psychological Association, they didn't even use the word toxic. They just said masculinity is an issue, and Gillette is using the word toxic masculinity. But boy, in my opinion, most men in America, They act the right way. They know how to treat women and people, and they know what's wrong. There's always going to be some idiots. There's always going to be some guys that act like asses.
Of course.
And so, but don't blame masculinity for that.
Right. Here's the one thing I would just ask of you. When are you going to stop using sex as a weapon?
Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So there's a crowd at the Superdome waiting to buy Rolling Stones tickets for when they play Jazz Fest for the 50th anniversary of the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival. I was wondering, when we talked about the Stones and tickets going on sale, I was wondering how many people were going to show up. I mean, it was pretty cold last night. Not as cold as it's going to be this weekend.
Not as cold as it's been the last, I would say, two or three nights.
No, and this was, I thought this was cool when they announced you can only buy tickets for the Rolling Stones appearance at Jazz Fest. You can only buy them at the Superdome, at the ticket window there, at the plaza level. And they go on sale Thursday morning, this morning, at 10 a.m. And I wondered how many hours before 10 a.m. would people start getting in line? This brings me and brings us back to before the internet, when we were young, and when a concert came to town, we'd go sleep out. We'd go sleep outside of some ticket office. It seemed a lot more fun when we were younger. Then let's say when we're adults.
I don't think I ever did that. You're a little bit younger than I am.
Yes, I did.
But it's funny to hear words that are almost phrases that are almost lost into antiquity, like ticket office
and sleeping out. And so from what I could tell from some of my Facebook friends, they said there was a bunch of people there as of midnight last night.
I guess that was the time that you were allowed, quote unquote, to start lining up.
And good thing it wasn't just one or two people. Good thing there was a large group of people, because if you're going to sleep on the street in the city of New Orleans, you want as many people around, good people around you as possible.
There's safety in numbers.
Yes.
And warmth if you huddle up.
We're going to, I know that Kat is going to go over there if you're waiting in line. Kat is going to bring King Cake from Hey Dell's. That's cool. Nothing like breakfast.
Nothing like free breakfast.
And Ginty is going to be over there too. Ginty. So that's this morning, outside the Superdome. Old times.
And Ginty and I believe Kat will be checking in a little bit later when they get there.
I found out.
Are you doing Kat's wake up call, or am I? I think you are.
She usually does my wake up call.
Oh, well, then we're screwed.
The shoe's on the other foot this morning. Yeah, Kat usually calls me. I answer the phone, and she said, "Get up! You gotta go to work." Hey, we found out yesterday how many tickets they said that they're gonna sell for the Rolling Stones Day. And by the way, the people that are getting tickets this morning for the Rolling Stones show at Jazz Fest, which is the second Thursday of Jazz Fest this year, tickets are $185 plus fees. And if you think that's expensive, that has to be the highest single day. That has to be the highest ticket price in the 50-year history of the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival. It has to be.
Well, there would be no, there would be no reason to have it this high. I mean, and those, the Stones.
Those are still the cheapest Rolling Stones tickets you can get, because tomorrow morning they go on sale for the rest of the world, and I believe they're $250 plus fees.
There is still, I was looking at Facebook after the show yesterday, and there's still a lot of confusion about that day. And we talked about it yesterday morning on the show. There are still people who aren't sure. Like, I saw some comments like, well, how are they going to keep the people out who didn't buy the separate? No, there's no separate ticket. It's a Thursday ticket.
Yeah.
It is $185 plus fees. You can see anybody you want, Tom Jones and whoever else is there,
yep,
until 4 o'clock. Then it's everyone. There's no other bands playing after 4 o'clock.
Because the Stones go on at 5.
Exactly. So there's no, I see people talking about wristbands and this, that, and the other. Now, what they actually will do on Stones Day that we don't know about remains to be seen. But the information as we have it, there's no separate, you buy that ticket.
And it's only good
for Thursday.
For that
second Thursday.
And it's good for everybody.
Sure.
There's going to be a bunch of bands playing before the Stones, but just like Brewster said, once 4 o'clock rolls around, that's it. Not only are all the other bands done, from what we understand, all of the vendors who sell things at Jazz Fest, they're closing up shop.
I'm getting conflicting information about that.
You are?
It's not important now. That's only important once you're there that day.
And again, the ticket that you get for that Stones Thursday, the second Thursday, is good for only that day, which is the biggest difference than any other Jazz Fest ticket, because historically, when you buy a ticket for Jazz Fest, you could usually use it for any of the days. But with these Stones tickets, no, it's just that day, the second Thursday, and you get to see all the bands that go on before them. And from what I understand, because you mentioned the other day when you saw Elton John there a few years ago, you're estimating in your mind.
No, I didn't estimate. They estimated.
100,000 people were there?
The city estimated 100,000.
From what we understand, and this they're only going to sell 60,000 tickets for the Rolling Stones Day. Now, they could just be saying that, and they could be saying, hey, once we get to 60,000, maybe we'll sell another 5,000 or 10,000 or 15,000. I don't know. But if there were 100,000 for Elton John, you would think.
Well, but it was, and I mentioned this on the show yesterday, that became just short of a public safety issue. You had chairs and tarps and blankets being set up on the track, and just it ballooned, it mushroomed way out of control.
And good thing the mosh pits for Elton John were kind of small and concentrated. There was only a couple of hardcore mosh pits.
They had some really nice mojitos, though, because I walked by and they're like, "Hey, mojito, sure." Yeah.
So we're gonna find out. That's what's happening at the Superdome. That's what's happening with that particular Thursday at Jazz Fest. But the number we were told yesterday was they plan on selling 60,000 tickets for that Rolling Stones second Thursday at Jazz Fest. Pretty exciting stuff. I've seen some people complain about the ticket price, because like I mentioned, this is by far the highest ticket price for a ticket in the history of the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, which celebrates its 50th year. Some people weren't too happy about that, but hey, the Stones are coming to town.
Well, I mean, I saw some people who, it wasn't even a decision. It'd be like, how much? Nope, not going
to
do it.
The Rolling Stones, to this day, still hold the record for how many people were in the Superdome to see a concert. Because they've played the Superdome, I believe, 3 times in their history. And I think the second time, I think it was 79, they sold 87,000 tickets or 85,000 tickets, right around there. And to this day, that holds the record for the most people to ever see a show in the Superdome. I mean, Saints games, you can pack, what, 75,000 in there? I mean, tops. And that's standing room, right? Right around there. I'm not that good in math. And when the numbers start getting that high, the higher the numbers get, the bigger headache I get.
This says 1981, 87,500.
Okay, it was 81. That's something. And back then, though, I think the tickets for that show were $13.50. That's what I read. A big difference from 185 we're getting for this go-around.
But again, I mean, it's like Jazz Fest. You get all of that entertainment from the time the gates open that day up until 4 o'clock. I mean, I would like to see a couple of the people out there that day. I'd like to see Tom Jones.
And as we mentioned on the show yesterday,
I don't think we're going to be there. But
as we mentioned on the show yesterday, women still throw their underwear and their panties and their bras. They throw them at Tom Jones. Maybe not as much. Maybe the undergarments aren't as small as they used to be. But still, if you see Tom Jones, women love throwing their underwear in his face when he's playing. They love it. So. The more we get from down the street at the Superdome, people waiting out, we will bring to you. Also, I've got some interesting numbers coming up on this Sunday Saints-Rams NFC Championship game in the very same building for the second time in the history of our planet and our city. The Saints will be hosting the NFC Championship game. I got some interesting numbers coming up on that. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock. According to the Census Bureau, California leads the nation in poverty. Think about that for a minute. You think about Beverly Hills, and you think about San Francisco. They got some of the most expensive real estate in America. Yet, if you look at downtown Los Angeles, parts of downtown San Francisco, there are more homeless people in tent cities than anywhere in America. It's crazy. But according to the Census Bureau, California leads the nation in poverty. The state is so poor, some Californians are sneaking into Mexico for a better life. Coming up, we've got some details about this weekend's NFC Championship game. For the second time in history, it will be held here in the great city of New Orleans. And I've got some things that you might want to know about that. Coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So, Sunday, how excited are you? This is the second time in history that the NFC Championship game is played in New Orleans. And we all know what happened the first time it was played here. A decade ago, the Saints won, and then they went on to the Super Bowl, and they won that too.
I know, because I was there. Now, that raises an interesting point. The Saints are 1-0 in NFC Championship games when I attend. I'm not going to be able to attend Sunday, so I'm just saying. I'm just throwing that out there.
And if you're looking for tickets, we'll tell you what you should pay coming up in just a couple of minutes here. But I wanted to mention this because I thought this was really cool. Before Sunday's NFC Championship game, the band Cheap Trick is playing a free concert right next to the Superdome at Champion Square. They hit the stage at 11:30. I don't know why Cheap Trick is in town. I have no idea what they're doing. I don't know if they had a concert that they were supposed to play or they're just Saints fans. I don't know. I mean, you'd think they'd be Bears fans because they're from Illinois. But for whatever reason, I mean, a legendary rock band, Cheap Trick. And if you like the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High, one of Mike Damone, ticket scalper Mike Damone's favorite bands ever.
I think Mike Damone may actually be at Champion Square.
But that's pretty cool. They go on at 11:30 and they play a free concert, Cheap Trick, before the NFC Championship game. And then, once you're inside, before the game starts, when they do the national anthem, where no one will be on their knees, Jimmy Buffett is performing the national anthem. And then at halftime, they've got the two acts that have probably the two songs that are most associated with the New Orleans Saints. You got Choppa. He's going to be playing the local rapper. And that song this year has taken over as the official song of the New Orleans Saints. And then the song before Choppa style that everybody thought of when they thought of the New Orleans Saints was that song by Yin Yang Twins. That song, Stand Up, Get Crunk. No. So those two acts are performing at halftime. And as far as tickets go, obviously every seat is sold, but you could always get tickets on the secondary market. You could always get them from scalpers. I apologize if you're Native American.
Yeah, we don't endorse or condone the idea of ticket exchange for more than the face value. But you're on your own.
Well, Brewster, this is interesting. The prices I'm looking at here, they're saying this is fairly cheap for an NFC Championship game. They're saying if the Dallas Cowboys won last week and came here, tickets would be much more expensive because Dallas Cowboys fans, well, we're the next state over. There are many more Dallas Cowboys fans than Los Angeles Rams fans in America, and they travel. Last week, as a matter of fact, in the Los Angeles Coliseum, it was estimated half of that crowd were Dallas Cowboy fans.
And you could almost tell that from the
audience noise.
Yeah.
Absolutely, you could tell that. Even though they've been irrelevant for 20 years, it was the years before that made a lot of people in America, all over the United States, Dallas Cowboy fans. So if you're looking to go to the game Sunday, be thankful that the Saints are playing the Los Angeles Rams and not the Dallas Cowboys, because the Rams fans, they just got their team back. It's Los Angeles. They don't travel. If they do travel, they go to the beach. So as of Tuesday, 2 days ago, if you wanted to go see the Saints on Sunday, the average ticket price is about $630.
And we're talking resale. This is through, I'm guessing this is through NFL Ticket Exchange, those type of things.
And you could go to SeatGeek,
and
all of that,
et cetera, et cetera.
I don't know about the people on Facebook, because a bunch of my Facebook friends, I've said, who's looking for a couple tickets? But, just IM me,
Right, but there'd be no way to quantify that to put into those statistics.
Now, if you want to be a part of this huge, massive day in New Orleans, you might want to wait instead of paying $630, because from what I understand, those prices are going down. They're going down. They're cheaper today for the average ticket price than they were 2 days ago, and that's telling all experts in this matter that 2 days from now, on Saturday, the day before the game, they're gonna be even cheaper. And if you're a Saints fan and you want to see the NFC Championship game, Lord knows we don't know when it's going to be here again. It's only been here once before, and that was 10 years ago. And this is the third time that the New Orleans Saints have played for the NFC Championship time. The other time was on the road. So, again, if you're looking for secondary market tickets, if I were you, I'd wait. I'd wait till at least Saturday. Do you realize that obviously that's the only way you can get tickets, because the season ticket waiting list for the New Orleans Saints, which started in 2006, has 100,000 people on it.
I believe that.
So, with all of this entertainment, with people at the NFC Championship, I smell. Hang on, as we sit here in downtown New Orleans.
In fact, you do smell. I didn't want to be so bold, but
I smell NFC Championship weekend. Or is that the river? Anyways, I'm excited. Brewster, this weekend, New Orleans is going to be insane this weekend. You know how nuts it's going to be? It was crazy last Sunday after they beat the Eagles, the downtown New Orleans. People were partying like it was Jazz Fest, like it was Mardi Gras. You wouldn't have known the difference. And this weekend's going to be even crazier. So very excited for NFC Championship football coming to New Orleans. All right, coming up on the show, we're going to there was a famous person who just got arrested. And the reason why this is making news, because a lot of famous people got arrested. But the reason why this is making news is because this guy used to be on television, and he used to be the one who was behind arresting a lot of other people. Stay tuned for that coming up on the show, because this news surprised everybody on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So news went around yesterday about someone getting arrested. Chris Hansen. You might remember Chris Hansen from one of the most disturbing shows to ever air on television, a show called To Catch a Predator.
I am Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC, and we're doing a story on computer predators.
This show was so disturbing, and it was all about, like he just said, they would set up in a house, and they would lure men.
No, they didn't lure them. Well, the men were coming there.
Because they thought they were talking to an underage girl, right, or underage boy.
But it was so disturbing that NBC put it on like four nights a week. You couldn't get enough of Dateline.
It was unbelievable. To Catch a Predator. And then the guys would walk in there, and then Chris Hansen would come walking out, and he'd be like, "What the hell are you doing here? Right. Who are you here to meet? Or, you know, why are you?"
No, he wouldn't say, "What the hell are you doing here?" He'd be like, "So, what's in the bag? What you got planned tonight?" He was very, what's the word? Creepy, but yet, I'm not even sure what the word would be.
Yes, a guy would walk in the door, and Chris Hansen would come around the corner, and he'd say, "Are you holding candy?" You know, he would say different things, and you know, it got to the point where, I mean, it was a very popular show. The reason why they took it off the air, why it ended, is because some guy blew his brains out in the front yard of one of the houses after he was busted by Chris Hansen. Because they would always let the guy leave after he was caught. The guy was thinking he's coming in to meet an underage boy or girl. He meets Chris Hansen. And then the guy's like, "Can I leave?" And Chris Hansen said, "Yeah." And then the guy would leave. And then
they are literally tackled.
Yeah, police
by
would come.
Six officers. I mean, they are on the face down in the yard before they knew what hit them.
But one day, somebody walked right outside the door, pulled a gun out, and shot himself, or something like that. And that's why the show ended. But it was as disturbing a television show as you could see. Well, he got arrested yesterday up in Stamford, Connecticut, for passing a bad check. Evidently, he was buying some party favors, or he was buying $13,000 worth of stuff.
What you got there? Some party favors?
And he wrote a bad check, and it bounced.
Hanging bad paper.
And then the owner of the store called him up, and he said, "Look, let me try again." He wrote him a second check that bounced, and so the host of To Catch a Predator, he's now To Catch a Debtor. Coming up next, we'll look at today in history. We call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. We hope you'll stay tuned for that report. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. It's time to look at today in history. And on this show, we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
January 17th. Today was one of the most historic robberies in American history. In 1950, Brinks armored car robbery. 11 men stole more than $2 million from the Brinks armored car depot in Boston, Massachusetts. It looked like it was the perfect crime. Almost, the culprits weren't caught until 6 years later, just days before the statute of limitations for the theft expired. They made at least one, if not more, movies about this. The robbery's mastermind was Anthony Fats Pino, a career criminal. They did a stakeout of the depot for a year and a half to figure out exactly when it held the most money. And then they stole $2 million. And think about it, $2 million in 1950 is a lot of money.
Give me a second. I'll tell you exactly how much that works out to be.
That must be today, $10
million. Well, we'll find out in a second. We'll come back to that.
January 17th. It was today in 1977.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
A guy named Gary Gilmore got executed. He was convicted in the double murder of an elderly couple. And he, I believe he got to choose his way that he was going to get executed. And he said, shoot me. So they had the firing squad.
It was in Utah, right?
I think. Yes, that was in Utah. And you like that, giving guys that are about to get killed, giving these guys the choice to pick the way that they're going to...
I don't believe it would happen today. I don't know. I'll check into that. I've got a list of things I've got to... Just all this homework that I've got to do.
It wouldn't happen today, because today they got to give you the shot that puts you...
Well,
the...
I don't think so. I think there are some states that still offer a choice. I would have to look that up.
Oh, really?
I'm trying to... Yeah, I think so. I'm trying to find out how much... What is it? $2 million is... Oh, it's a lot of money. I don't care. Let's see. States... Yeah, listen quietly while I Google this.
Well, I don't know if States. I like the fact that a guy that takes people's lives then gets to choose the way he dies.
Execution.
January 17th.
All right, hang on. The gas chamber is an alternate method of execution in 7 states: Alabama, Arizona, California, Mississippi. Please hold your applause until every state has been mentioned. Missouri, Oklahoma, and Wyoming. Hanging is allowed as an alternate method of execution in New Hampshire and Washington State. And so if it's an alternate method, I take that to mean that you could pick your poison, as it were.
January 17th. It was today in 1994.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Paula Jones accuses Bill Clinton of sexual harassment. She was a former Arkansas state clerk, and she filed suit against President Bill Clinton in federal court, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Reached for comment. Bill Clinton said, have you seen the nose on that girl? There's no way.
He didn't mind back then.
Yeah, really.
But today was the day that she filed the suit in 1994, asking for $700,000 in damages. And then Clinton always denied that. And, you know, historians say, if Bill Clinton didn't deny that, if he admitted what he did with Paula Jones, the whole Monica Lewinsky thing never would have become public knowledge. But people made that public knowledge because he refused to admit what he did with Paula Jones and probably a plethora of other women. January 17th. Hey, it was today the PGA was formed, the Professional Golfers Association, way back in 1916.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
January 17th, today in 1966.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The network NBC, their television, they greenlighted a new project, something called The Monkees. And they had all kinds of famous people that wanted to be, that went on to become famous. They weren't famous at the time, but they went on to become famous actors after that. They all wanted to be a part of that.
Yes.
But the Monkees, a pretty cool TV show.
In other music news, it was on this date, January 17th in 2003.
Why today doesn't suck.
I'm talking about the Stones. Everyone's thinking Stones. A lost song recorded by Mick Jagger and John Lennon, recorded in 1974, sold for over $2,200 at a London auction. The song, a cover of Willie Dixon's Too Many Cooks Spoil the Soup, was recorded in Los Angeles in 1973.
Have you ever heard their version of that song? I know that song because I love the old blues. I don't think I've ever heard their version of that.
I'm wondering, okay, so the song sold for over $2,200. Does that mean it was like a reel-to-reel tape? Or, I mean, I just wonder what format. It wouldn't be, obviously it wouldn't be MP3.
Could have been a cassette tape,
I guess. It was on this day, January 17th, 1969.
Why today doesn't suck.
Why
Led Zeppelin
released their self-titled debut album in the United States. Later, it reached number 10 on the Billboard 200 album chart, selling 8 million copies in the U.S., and that dispels the misconception that its actual title is Led Zeppelin 1. There was no reason to have a Led Zeppelin 1 as the title. It was the first one. It's just Led Zeppelin.
That's it.
It's not Led Zeppelin 1. As opposed to Led Zeppelin 2, which is properly titled Led Zeppelin 2.
And then 3.
And then 3. And then no title. Its title is not Zozo. It is not Led Zeppelin 4. That album has no official title.
Well, its official title is the most popular, most biggest selling Led Zeppelin album of all time, fourth one, right?
You know, actually, I think technically the title of that album is the four runes, the four symbols of the four members. It was on this day, January 17th. In 1970.
Why today doesn't suck.
A historic day. The Doors begin a two-night stand at New York City. New York City's Felt Forum, which was recorded for their live album, Absolutely Live, released later that July. And by the way, if you like this kind of music minutia, we have a show for you during noon with Ginty. It's called Music Notes at Noon, and he does this much better than we do.
And
tune in.
Did you know?
We're going to hear from Ginty in a little bit.
Yes, over at the Superdome.
Yes.
Did you know the Felt Forum is connected to Madison Square Garden?
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's a smaller version of that.
And happy birthday today, born on this date, January 17th, 1948.
Why today doesn't suck.
More Stones in the news. Happy birthday, Mick Taylor.
Well, if you're doing birthdays,
let's do some birthdays.
Happy birthday. Born today in 1971.
Why today doesn't suck.
A guy named Robert James Ritchie. You know him better as?
Not Kid Rock.
Kid Rock!
Oh, it's Kid Rock. Okay.
That's right. Bob Ritchie. Born today up there in Michigan. Also got a couple of more birthdays. Happy birthday to former First Lady Michelle Obama. She's 55 today. And if you want to send her a gift, she's registered at Big Button Beyond.
True story.
Also, happy birthday, born on this day, Al Capone, one of the most famous or infamous criminals ever in our country. His 7-year reign as Chicago's crime boss resulted in more than 300 murders in Chicago. Over 7 years? Boy, that seemed like a lot of murders back then. They get 300 murders now over the course of a month in that city.
Reach for comment. Alphonse Capone said, "You got nothing. You're nothing but a punk with a badge. You got nothing. You got the bookkeeper. You got nothing, you punk."
And if you know anything about Capone, it wasn't he didn't go down for the murders. The mob boss's career was brought to an end in 1931 by another gang, the IRS. January 17th.
And a lot of people think that Al Capone is from Chicago. Not true. He's from New York.
He is from New York. And he had to get out of there because he killed somebody. So he said, "Hey, Chicago's cool." I got two more. Today in 1994.
Why today doesn't suck.
A massive earthquake rocked Los Angeles. I had a friend that moved out to Los Angeles like a couple of months before that. And that earthquake happened, and he's standing in the street freaking out. He goes, "I just moved here, and I felt everything shake." And he moved back to the East Coast pretty quick after that.
Later that day.
Yeah. And today in January 17th, this was a big one. Today in 1984.
Why today doesn't suck?
Peter Uberoth.
Nope. Oh. The United States Supreme Court decides Universal versus Sony as video cassette recordings, the usage of them, takes off. Remember the movie studios like Universal? They were freaking out that people were recording movies and then giving them to their friends.
Right.
A lot like the music industry freaked out when people were recording stuff on cassette and giving it to their friends because people weren't going to the movies and buying the and people weren't buying the music. But 8 years after it began, this was an eight-year court battle over the legality of the video cassette recorder, the VCR, and its allegedly detrimental effect on the motion picture industry comes to an end with the United States Supreme Court's ruling that was issued today in 1984. They said it was okay. It was cool, I guess, to use the VCR.
Hmm. And that's a segment that we call...
You know, I when I speak, like right now, for example...
Now it's actually called...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
All right, coming up on the show, we're going to check in with Ginty. Ginty! He's at the Superdome. He's hanging out with people that slept out for Rolling Stones tickets for Jazz Fest. Kat's over there. She's delivering King Cake from Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. We got a little one more thing that we didn't get to in Why Today Doesn't Suck, so that would make this bonus suck. Bonus suck. Suck. Bonus. Today is Betty White's 97th birthday. Happy birthday to Betty White. She has New Orleans in her past. When she first, I think New Orleans was the first place she was ever on television. If I'm not mistaken, she was on WDSU for a little while, and then she went out west. But, I mean, she's 97. And is there anyone in this country that doesn't like Betty White? Is there anybody that walks around that says, Betty White sucks, man. I hate Betty White. Betty White rules. And she's 97 today. And boy, back
how old are you? You're still saying rules.
Well, back
how old are you?
Back in the day, Brewster.
Here's the other thing. I think you're saying rules with a Z. I really believe that you're saying R-U-L-Z, which makes it worse. But go ahead.
Back in the day, she was a looker. I mean, there are no pictures of her on the internet like the actress.
That's not true. In fact, there are some racy playing cards that may or may not feature Betty White topless.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
See, I haven't seen those.
Yeah. Well, now you got something to do during the next song.
You know, when I think of old actresses, when I think of old racy pictures, the first thing that comes to mind is the actress who played Aunt B.
Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb. I can't hear you.
She looked hot in that onesie, black and white. But happy birthday, Betty. And I don't think there's any end in sight. Her and Keith Richards. It's really something.
They're the same age, which is ironic. They don't share the same birth date, but they say share the same birth year. And sadly, Carol Channing.
Dead!
At 97.
At the age of 97. She was most famous for Hello, Dolly. She died the other day. And from what I read, she was so skinny, she used to carry around chicken in her pocketbook. And even when she went out to restaurants, she would break apart the piece of chicken and eat it. That's what I read about Carol Channing.
I don't understand, though. She was so skinny, she carried around chicken.
Yeah.
That's what you said.
Well, she didn't like to, like, have a lot of carbs, I guess, at meals.
Oh.
So when even she would go out to famous restaurants, they wouldn't care. She would whip out a piece of chicken out of her pocketbook and she would eat it.
Have you seen this disturbing trend? And I don't know if it's, like, from WorldNewsDailyReport.com or The Onion, but apparently people are making sashimi out of chicken. People are eating raw chicken.
Oh, I didn't know what sashimi was.
Sushi, sashimi, raw chicken. Hello, raw chicken. I don't think you're supposed to eat raw chicken. We'll do more research on that.
All right, coming up next, we're expecting to talk to Ginty, who's hanging out with the folks waiting to buy Rolling Stones Jazz Fest tickets over at the Superdome here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. How is this partial government shutdown going to end? It's already the longest in history. About 800,000 non-essential government workers are a few days away from missing their second paycheck. And boy, the news, which pretty much every newscast you watch, most of the news are anti-Donald Trump. They're really blaming him, and they're really playing this up big. You know, they went to some woman's house who's been furloughed, not working, and she says she's about a month away from choosing, does she have to pay her mortgage or pay for her insulin? And I was thinking, she should probably pay for the insulin, because if she pays for her mortgage, I mean, she could die inside her house. And you know what, without the insulin, you know what's interesting? When I lost my last job, the news never came to my house and asked me, hey, so what are you going to do? You know, how are you going to get by? But how is this partial government shutdown going to end? Because now you've got the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, saying there is going to be no State of the Union address while there is a partial government shutdown. We will, and Congress has the power to do that. They're saying Donald Trump will not get up and do his State of the Union address like presidents always do while there's this partial government shutdown. Donald Trump says he's not budging, and the reason why there is this partial government shutdown is because he wants $5 billion so he could build his wall, or he's going to have to call it something else, because the Democrats do not want that wall built. At least they don't want it to be called a wall. And, you know, when you look at our massive budget in this country, $5 billion is not much. Now, look, and we've mentioned this before, Donald Trump has to get this done. This is the main issue he ran on. This is the main issue why people voted for him to become president of the United States, to secure our border with Mexico. And look, I want a more secure border. We don't know everybody who's coming across that border. People come across that border. Sure, there's some good people. There's some good people that come across that border. You know, there's some criminals that come across that border as well, illegally. And please, if you watch the media, they keep talking about how Trump is anti-immigrant. He's anti-illegal immigrant. There's a difference between being an immigrant. We're all immigrants. There's a big difference between being an immigrant and an illegal immigrant. And so how is this going to end? Is he going to give a State of the Union address like we get from a president every other year? What's going to happen here? Him before being a president, he was a businessman, a very successful businessman. And does he budge on negotiations? What's going to happen here? And is there going to be a State of the Union address? And what's interesting about some of these people, if you go, you can go find where Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Barack Obama, you can go and find where a few years ago they said illegal immigration and the illegal immigrants are a big problem in this country and we need to do something about it. Now, all of a sudden, that tune has changed. How does that happen? And I wish I could sit here and tell you, because I pay attention to some of this stuff. I wish I could sit here and tell you, well, this is what's going to happen. A, B, and C. I don't see Donald Trump making a compromise here. And he has to get something built along the border. Whether he has to change the terminology of it and not call it a wall, maybe call it a barrier, maybe call it a fence. Maybe call it a clothesline, call it anything. But he has to do something, because this is why people voted for him. This is why he's president. This was the main issue. I always remember build the wall, and I always remember lock her up. Those were the two things when Donald Trump was running for president that people used to chant every time he showed up somewhere.
I alluded to this yesterday, that the government shutdown is having an effect on craft breweries. And we're not talking about home breweries or anything like that. And I didn't want to go any farther at the time because I had not wrapped my mind around it. But basically, it boils down to this. The federal government shutdown is affecting brewers like they speak to in this article to Jim Cook of Boston Brewing, Samuel Adams. And basically, Sierra Nevada is one of them. There are other breweries who are affected by this. They are constantly working on new formulas, new types of beers, new styles of beers. They have thousands and thousands and thousands of gallons of this that they can't do anything with because the mechanism by which the government has to approve this to go from tanks to bottles to grocery stores can't happen because of this shutdown. And it's going to cost them millions upon millions of dollars in wasted stock. And that's just beer. I'm sure there are other food types that are sitting in. I'm sure there are similar stories with other food products. Just as an example of what you think about the workers, and that is the workers not getting paychecks. That is the face of this, and should be a woman who can't get her who has to make a decision between her rent and her insulin. I mean that shouldn't happen.
But whose fault is it? Now the news networks, a couple of them did polls. And the majority of Americans, it's like 55%, blame Donald Trump. Of course they blame him because he's the president. The buck stops here, everything. Right. But why can't Donald Trump say what Barack Obama used to say several times? Elections have consequences. I am your president of the United States. I am telling Congress, give me this $5 billion for this wall. And Congress is telling me no, because they're going to tell me no. Now that the Democrats are leading the House of Representatives, they're going to tell me no on anything and everything that I want to do. Stay tuned. It's going to be interesting to see how this ends. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So with the Rolling Stones playing the 50th anniversary of Jazz Fest, tickets are going on sale this morning for locals only at the Superdome. And people have been sleeping out there since last night. Ginty is over there. Ginty! Hey, Ginty, how many people would you estimate are over there now?
Oh, 12. It's really not that bad. no, I would say there's like two lines that wrap completely around the plaza level of the dome. So there's been people camped out. I talked to one guy, he was here at 3 a.m., and that wasn't even at the front of the line. So people have been sleeping out here all night. A lot of people already got their Jazz Fest chairs to sit underneath the overhang of the dome and wait in line for tickets today to see the Stones.
Well, that's cool. They can get their chairs a little extra work as well. So are you excited about this? Because some people I know are very excited. Then other people are saying this is the most expensive Jazz Fest ticket in the history of Jazz Fest.
I am. I'm excited about Jazz Fest every year. I'm a big Jazz Fest guy. I try to go as many days as possible. This is a pain in the ass. I will say that. I'm excited about seeing the Stones. I'm not thrilled about throwing down $185 for it. Or better yet, waiting in line like it's 1988. That part stinks.
Have you ever seen the Stones before?
You know what? I haven't. That's pretty much the only reason I'm waiting in line today. Because I've never, of all the bands I've seen, I've never seen the Stones.
I had a feeling that was the case.
But Ginty, doesn't this bring you back to your youth a little bit, sleeping outside for tickets? I mean, in the year 2019, this is like using an 8-track tape or a VCR.
Yeah, that is exactly true. The last time I camped out, I had to figure it out, was 1992. I camped out to see Van Halen and Alice King.
Yeah, I think I said 1984. I camped out to see Rush. I remembered that.
Yeah. Good. I like being able to sit at my desk and click the button and buy the tickets. It's so much easier.
Yeah, I think sleeping out's a lot more fun when you're younger. Hey, Ginty, we appreciate it. So you and Kat are giving out king cake to some people from Hey Dell's Bakery?
Yeah, there's probably, I would say, somewhere between 5,000 and 6,000 people out here who brought free king cake. So I'm not sure everyone's going to get some, but at least the three people that get them is going to be happy.
All right, Ginty, great talking to you. We'll listen to you at 10 a.m. here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford.
Now, at one point, there was a little bit of confusion about Bob Seger, and I can if that hasn't been cleared up for most people listening, I can do that now. Bob Seger is going to be second Saturday at Jazz Fest at the Gentilly stage. And because I know that if you go to nojazzfest.com, the official website, still don't see Bob Seger on there, but that's Keith Sparrow said that is that's when Bob Seger will be.
Oh, Keith Sparrow knows what he's talking about.
Yes, he does. Yes,
I read his stuff.
And we have an update on the current situation with Rolling Stones tickets at the Superdome. Ginty has checked in.
Ginty!
He wants us to let people know, if you're coming out still this morning, you need to have an ID, go to Gate D to get a wristband, and then proceed to the ticketing area at the plaza level. So Gate D to get your wristband, and then the plaza level for the tickets.
And I understand Ginty and Kat were wrestling with some people waiting in line over the Haydell's King Cake that they brought down.
One of them was topless. I'm just going to put that out there and just... You know, that I'm going to say something, and it has become my least favorite phrase. You like to mention that you just... I guess your skin crawls, what you describe when you hear the end of the day. And at the end of the day.
Oh, my God. Overused cliches. And that's right at the top of the list. It makes the hair just make knots on the back of my neck.
Allow me, if you will, to elucidate, whatever the word is, my new least favorite one. And it's all over Facebook. And a lot of it is the political aspect of it, the left and right, the back and forth. Somebody will post something. But, oh, I wish people would stop putting this at the end of it. Let that soak in. Oh, I can't take it anymore. People are the wall is going to let that soak in. You don't see pickup trucks with gun racks anymore. That's why there's school shootings. Let that soak in. Saying let that soak in.
That bothers me, too, because you're assuming that I didn't understand what I just read.
Right, and it somehow adds a greater deal of understanding if they add, let that soak in.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. So we'll see. And as we mentioned, Jazz Fest said that they are going to sell, hopefully, they're going to limit the tickets sold for that Rolling Stones Day, the second Thursday at Jazz Fest, to 60,000 tickets. And so the locals get the first shot this morning, and then tomorrow... They go on sale for the rest of the world, and they're more expensive. They're $185 plus charges this morning, and then tomorrow I think they're $250 for the rest of the people plus other charges. I stayed up later than usual last night, and I was going to walk, because I don't live that far from the Superdome. I could have walked over there to relive some of my youth. People sleeping out for concert tickets. I didn't think we'd ever see that again in the days of the internet and do everything from our couch. But the Pelicans were on ESPN last night. They started at 9:30 because they were in Oakland to play the defending champion Golden State Warriors. And I was only going to watch a couple of minutes because, you know, I got to get up early. It's a school night. But the game, Brewster, was history making. It was so exciting. The Pelicans lost 147-140, and the game didn't go into overtime. That was just four quarters.
It's like an all-star game score.
Yeah. But the reason why it was history
making. Did they just eliminate dribbling? You could just walk up and down the floor?
That's the NBA as we sit here in the year 2019. Defense, at least for the first three and a half quarters, is not regarded as a high premium. But what made last night's Pelicans-Warriors game history-making, they broke the record for the most three-pointers made in a game by both teams. 43!
Wow.
And Stephen Curry made nine of them on his own. The Pelicans blew. They had a 16-point lead in the second quarter. They had a 17-point lead in the third quarter, and they still lost. I'll tell you, they have a solid team, and they're finally all healthy. They had some injuries this year, but I still have a serious issue with their coaching. They have two of the premier elite defensive players in the NBA. You know, last year they were first team all-NBA defense. Anthony Davis and Drew Holiday. Yet if you have two of the five best defensive players in the NBA, why do the Pelicans have one of the worst defensive teams in the NBA? They give up, they're right at the bottom of the list when it comes to giving up the most points, or top of the list when it comes up to giving up the most points.
Right. Now, I don't follow it as closely as you do. Is the coach Gentry, he's still there? What's his first name? Fire Gentry. He's still the coach?
You would think when you look around the internet. But they did have
That's hashtag Fire Gentry, I'm being told.
I mean, he's a coach who has never won anything as a head coach. He's had losing records most of the years that he's ever been a head coach. Last year, they had a little success. They made it to the second round of the playoffs. But I'm not giving Gentry any credit for that last year. Last year, they had a coach on the court, and his name was Rajon Rondo. And he was a former NBA champion with the Celtics. He was basically coaching that team last year. And then they lost him in the offseason. But this team doesn't play any defense, and they have two of the best defensive players in the league. I don't get it. And I still think, you know, they're only a couple of games out of the playoffs right now. There's a little less than half the season to go, 40 games or something like that, maybe a little bit less than that. And they still got a shot. But they do have the talent. But Alvin Gentry, a career loser as a head coach, he doesn't put any emphasis on defense. His whole coaching style, the Gentry style of coaching, is to shoot the ball as quick as you possibly can and to get as many shots off as you possibly can. And again, maybe that's maybe fun and exciting to watch during the season. But once the end of the season comes and once you get into the playoffs, like every other sport, it's defense. The big defensive stops and important times of the game, that's the stuff that wins playoffs. That's the stuff that wins championships. Like in baseball, it's pitching and defense.
Right.
Watch this Saints-Rams game this week. Whichever one of those two teams' defenses plays better, that's the team that's going to go on to the Super Bowl.
And I think above other stick and ball sports, I think basketball is alone in the fact that it has highs and lows like that. You'll have times where it's run and gun for 3 or 4 minutes, right, by both sides. But then you slow it down, and then you watch, you know, whether it's man-to-man, whether it's zone, you start seeing the defensive strategies come about. But just constantly run and gun, it gets old, and it leads to scores of, 280 points, as you mentioned, by both teams.
I mean,
more than 280.
Do you remember when good NBA games, both teams didn't even get to 100? The scores would be in the 80s or the 90s. They'd
sure.
be busting their butts on defense. And then you see a game like last night where the Pelicans lost to Golden State 147 to 140. There was no overtime. It was just four quarters.
Well, chicks dig the long ball. That's what they say.
Yeah, it shows you. So I still have a little bit of faith in the squad that they have. I just have no faith in Alvin Gentry. I have absolutely no faith in that guy as a coach. And I think a change needs to be made there. Gail Benson needs to do something. And, you know, right now, though, you've got football people running the basketball program here in town, where you don't see that pretty much anywhere else on a professional level. And the priority right now is Sunday's NFC Championship game with the football team. So, but it's something to be able to watch somebody like Anthony Davis. And again, last night, I think he had 30 points and 18 rebounds. I mean, the numbers this guy puts up every night, he's absolutely incredible to watch. And to live here and be able to watch him, you know, for free every night when they play is something else. All right, coming up on the show, we're going to tell you about a peeping Tom who peeped in the wrong house. Wait till you hear this story. That's coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. This is one of the most bizarre stories I've ever seen, and I could have used this for the dumbest thing I read all week. We've had a few stories on the show this week that we could have used for tomorrow's edition of The Dumbest Thing I Read All Week, which we do every Friday morning.
Right. My only concern with that would be, I think there's one person is the dumbest could be that if we did the dumbest person, the story's not so dumb. It's the one of the participants.
Well, wait till you hear this. This guy in Ireland, in Dublin,
he's 30. I thought we're not talking about the same thing then.
This guy.
Food Memento, okay.
Yeah. This guy in Dublin, Ireland, he's 33 years old and he's been having back pain for the last year or two. I think a lot of people can relate to that. And so I guess he had been to the doctors and they weren't able to help him with his back pain. So he decided to do something, play doctor himself. And you know what he did? Once a month for 18 months, he injected his own semen into his own arm to treat his back pain. And of course, it didn't work. So when he went to the doctor last week in Dublin, they noticed his arm, you know, had some puncture marks in it. And they asked him, what are you doing? And he explained what I just told you. And the doctors are saying, look, what are you doing? Who told you to do that? And he's like, well, you know, I've been to the doctors before. Nothing helped. And I heard that, you know, this stuff.
He heard it where?
Probably online. He probably saw it somewhere online.
He probably didn't listen yesterday when we mentioned about sites like the satire sites like The Onion and WorldNewsDailyReport.com and Fox News with three X's.
Yeah, so he told the doctor, I've done that, and they asked him for how long, and I'm reading the story now, and they got his X-ray up there, and I mean, who would even think of doing something like that? He bought syringes online, because where do you go to get syringes?
You get syringes if you're. I mean, I get syringes because my insulin that I take, being type 2 diabetic, is with syringes, not with the pen. This particular one. So yeah, that's not hard.
Well, I knew you can get syringes in places like San Francisco because they just give syringes to heroin addicts.
Pick them up off the ground.
You can pick them up off the ground there too. Just clean them off. But I don't think it's like that in Dublin, Ireland. But this guy got his syringes off the internet, and I'm not going to ask where he got the other stuff. And he injected it into his own arm once a month for 18 months, and his arm still hurt. Of course it did because he's an idiot.
But I thought it was back pain.
He did have back pain.
But and he just couldn't reach his back to inject it there, so he thought it would travel from his arm to his back pain?
Yes.
Well, sound medical advice right there.
Well, I told you.
I can't believe it didn't work.
This is one of the many stories we've talked about this week on the show that we could have run tomorrow on our segment, yes. The Dumbest Thing I Read All Week. But so hopefully he can get his back pain cured over there in Dublin, Ireland, and the doctors told him, stop doing that, you idiot, and maybe, hopefully, other people, idiots that are on the internet, they can learn. Don't do this.
Right. My question would be, and a doctor listed in the story here from Daily Mail in the UK admits people have been recorded to have injected substances. I almost hesitate to mention this because
you don't want to give anybody an idea.
Exactly. But people have injected substances like gasoline and lighter fluid in cases of trying to self-medicate themselves. Now, I wonder, I mean, there's a syringe can do two things. You either inject the substance, whatever it might be, subcutaneously, which would just be under the skin, or is he actually mainlining? Is he actually going into a vein?
I think he was mainlining. He wasn't dry popping. I think that's the other way. I think he was mainlining because his arm was swollen in a certain place. But you know, the internet has showed us, Brewster, that sometimes when you go on the internet and you see really cool stuff, really cool videos, creative stuff, we're surrounded by geniuses. But then sometimes you go on the internet and you see things like this and the Tide Pod Challenge and you see the Bird Box Challenge, people getting in car accidents, driving down the street with blindfolds.
Right.
You realize we're not only surrounded by geniuses, we're surrounded by imbeciles and idiots as well. So that's one of the cool things about the internet. Coming up next, we're going to tell you the story about the peeping Tom who peeped in the wrong house. Stay tuned for that report on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Hey, if you want to check out the scene outside the Superdome, people waiting to get their Rolling Stones Jazz Fest tickets, go to our Facebook page, Bayou 957 on Facebook.
I think some people, and I'm not sure if it's left, Ginty's out there.
Ginty!
And Kat, and giving away king cake, courtesy of Haydale's Bakery. Some people I can see from Kat's picture and Kat's video. And if you're listening, you know who you are. You're out there for just the king cake. I can tell. You have that look on your face, like, what do you want from me? I'm just here for the king cake.
Yeah, so there's some interesting stuff from outside the Superdome.
Oh, I have an update. Breaking news, the king cake's gone.
Hmm. Not just get your Stones tickets without the king cake. But go to our Facebook page and to see the video and pictures and stuff of what's happening outside of a crowded Superdome, as it's like 1985 all over again out there. People sleeping out for tickets. This time it's to see the Rolling Stones play Jazz Fest. Pretty cool. So if you've listened to the show, you've heard me complain about Peeping Toms. Well, I complain for two different reasons. Obviously, I complained that the sick pervert who's ever looking in people's window, the Peeping Tom.
You looked right at me when you said that.
Needs to be smacked for doing that.
Is that your lazy eye?
Yeah. But the other reason I complain about Peeping Toms, how come they're always guys? How come there are never any women, attractive women, that get arrested for looking in people's windows? They're always guys. And they're always shady-looking guys, too. You know, if I found out that there was a Peeping Tina instead of a Peeping Tom in my neighborhood, I'd open up all of the curtains, I'd open up all of the drapes, and I'd open up the bathroom windows, and I'd put on a show for her, Brewster. I told you that. If I found out that there was some peeping woman peeping through windows in my neighborhood, I'd be cranking music, I'd be getting down naked, I'd be like Tom Cruise in Risky Business, I'd be in my underwear, I'd be dancing around. I'm like, come on, where are you? I heard the rumor, where are you? But why is it Peeping Toms are always men? You never see even a halfway decent-looking woman getting arrested for looking into strangers' windows. Well, anyways, I got a story right here. This Peeping Tom picked the wrong house to peep in. This happened in California.
This happened in Florida.
Oh, this is Florida?
Yes.
Why did I see it? That's the lazy eye. Yes, this happened in Florida.
My version of the story happened in Florida.
And this guy was looking in a window, and he was looking in the room of a 15-year-old girl.
Oh, come on.
Sicko.
Yep.
But then the father noticed what was going on.
The father tells the picks up the story.
Right here. He's right here. He was in between, like, yeah, right here. He was all the way, he was inside of here. And I waited for a second, and then I looked again. And I'm looking, and then I see a white male, you know, he's standing by my window, and he's trying to get a better position. I couldn't believe it. I was like, is this for real? Like, I thought I was getting punked, you know, like, this is not happening to me. I called him, like, a department over there, and we just had a good conversation. I'm sorry that it happened to me, you know, I'm sorry it happened for him, because he's never going to do that again on this side of town. And if he was that brave to do it right here, I know this is not the first time he has done this before. Good prayer, and just knowing that, hey, my kids, my family is safe, and they're all right, and that guy's off the street.
Now, if you see the mugshot of the perpetrator here, the Peeping Tom, he's got a pretty good shiner going on his right eye.
Yes.
And looks like a cut lip, and he's not pummeled, but I think it's true that he's never going to do it again. Certainly not to this house.
The father who caught him, who you just heard from?
Yes.
Former Tennessee Titan and Detroit Lion, Tony Beckham. So the guy's peeping in the house.
Oops.
Of a young girl whose father played in the NFL. Go figure. And hopefully that'll be the last window that this pervert will ever look in. His name is Jeffrey Cassidy, the sicko. It blows me away the different things that get people excited. And I can't imagine walking around a complete strange neighborhood looking into people's windows just to see if I could see something so I can go, gah, 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 gah.
But yet you're hoping a female will come by your window and do just that.
Why can't there be one, Brewster?
Tony Beckham he's 40 years old now, from Gainesville, Florida, the former NFL cornerback. As you mentioned, looks like 3 seasons with the Titans, 1 year, it looks like a year off, maybe because of injury, and then 2007 with the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
He went to Wisconsin Stout. What is that, Division VI? I'm not familiar with Wisconsin Stout.
There's a guy who overachieved in life. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not a household name, but anybody that went to a college called Wisconsin Stout and made it to the NFL?
I had that from the bar at Trivia last night. It was pretty good. A little bit too hoppy for a stout, but Wisconsin Stout, recommended highly.
Was it cheesy?
No, not quite. More bready.
Hmm.
Not cheesy, more bready.
Yeah, I figure from Wisconsin, that's what they're known for there. But maybe one day, I'll see a story about a Peeping Tom arrested, and then you see the mugshot, and she's a halfway decent-looking woman. I mean, it's just like the guys that go into parks, flashers, and they whip it out, or they open their coat, or they drop their pants. How come you never see a decent-looking woman doing that? They just don't do it. Whether it's Peeping Toms or whipping it out in public.
I don't think they don't do it. It's just not... Maybe the sheer numbers would lead you to believe that it happens. I can't believe it doesn't happen. It's just not. Maybe you're not searching well enough.
Those are men's crimes.
Mm.
But coming up, I can tell you about a woman who just committed a pretty bad crime when it comes to her husband. And wait till you hear the reason why. You know, she wasn't a Peeping Tom. And she wasn't a public exposer, a flasher, a whip-em-outer, but she got arrested. And we're gonna tell you what she did coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. I don't remember seeing this headline ever before. Woman arrested for beating husband who refused oral sex. And I'm looking at her mugshot. I would agree with her husband. Amy Nicole Perino was arrested, and she faces jail time after physically abusing her husband because he refused to do oral sex. This happened the other night. She was naked. She was 43 years old. She approached her husband, and she attempted to force him to do oral sex. Do this. He was not in the mood. So she punched him more than 25 times. She then grabbed the belt and whipped her husband.
Did that break the ice at all?
Now, he still wasn't doing oral sex.
Mm.
He ran and pleaded with her to leave him alone, but she caught him and pushed him to the ground. She then got on top of her husband, sat on his face while screaming.
She was screaming.
Something
just,
about
just
oral
leave
sex.
It. Yeah, just
she's
leave
sitting
it
on it. Just imagine.
I've heard. I've heard enough.
You look at the mugshot. She's got a mohawk haircut. She's got tattoos on her neck. I gotta agree with the husband here. I mean, I know when you're married, you got to make sacrifices, but boy, Madonna Mia, as some people say. Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride, and. We're going to tell you about everything you need to know about the Saints game, the NFC Championship game this weekend.
And festivities inside and outside.
That's next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Did you know the Doors faced legal litigation over that song right there, Hello, I Love You? Ray Davies and the Kinks said they ripped us off. If you listen to that song, da-da, da-da, da-da. And I think the Doors had to pay the Kinks something for that, if I'm not mistaken. Because if you listen to the riff for Hello, I Love You, it's a lot like an old Kinks classic. I found that fascinating.
If I were world czar back then, which I will be one day, I would throw that out. That's not close enough for me. Let's see. Hello, you.
Yeah, there's an interesting video going around about they're called like the greatest ripoff songs, and that was on the list. And they said how "Hello, I Love You" by The Doors copied a classic Kink song. If you listen to the riff or the lick, or I know they've added some keyboards and such, but I thought that was pretty fascinating. Very interesting, just like how John Fogerty was sued for ripping himself off.
Right.
He said one of his solo songs ripped off an old song from his old band, Creedence Clearwater Revival. And
right.
he said, "No, Your Honor, I did not rip myself off."
Right. And you're saying, well, how could John Fogerty sue himself? Well, it's one publishing company under one record label at one point and a different one at another time. Should we do the side-by-side here with the Kinks and Kinks and the Doors? Well, under further review, the World Czar might have to revise his judgment.
Yeah, hey, it's pretty darn close.
And I always overturn that one.
You know, I always, look, every generation says rock is dead. Hey, Jim Morrison said rock is dead. I mean, think about it. There's only six strings on a guitar, and there's only how many frets?
Well, except for nine-string guitars. Or 12-string
guitars.
Yeah, right.
But what hasn't been done on a guitar when it comes to rock and roll stuff? I mean, what hasn't been done? As we sit here in the year 2019. I always found that interesting, though. And I think it's the keyboards by Ray Manzarek of The Doors that kind of maybe hides that a little bit. But if you do what you just did, Brewster,
yeah,
pretty much right on. Anyways, hey, we have an update quickly to a story that we did. Do you remember we told you about the principal before Christmas in Omaha, Nebraska, who made headlines because she made the kids get rid of candy canes because she said the candy canes, they were the letter J because of Jesus, and the color because of his blood.
Right. The White of Redemption, suburb of Omaha,
as I
recall.
The teacher was put on a leave.
Kind of like Hammond is to New Orleans, like that.
It's somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Well, that the principal who banned the candy canes will not be returning to school, according to the superintendent of that school district. And I guess they're saying this is a principal. She's in charge of all the teachers who are in charge of all of our kids. And if she's saying stuff like we have to ban candy canes from school because the shape stands for Jesus and the color stands for his blood, well, maybe we should be looking for another principal, because that's kind of crazy, isn't it?
Well, I don't think it's the point that it may be crazy. I think it's the separation of church and state. It's the I think that was probably the issue that's behind it.
Well, Principal Sinclair, Jennifer Sinclair, will not be returning to that school district. Mm-hmm. I know some people that wanted to take the movies that they owned on videotape, on video cassettes, and they wanted to dub them or like transfer them to DVD. And
okay.
I mean, I understood that, because you're not going to get, it's still going to be tape quality on a CD.
Well,
basically,
I wouldn't do that with movies, but I've got some, you know, family stuff, some pets, you know, that type of video that's irreplaceable that I'd like to have on a permanent media.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks so much for listening to the show. We appreciate it. Ginty is next. Ginty! Music Notes at Noon. And we'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30-ish here on Bayou 95.7.